Nature Station is kind of famous for its hummingbird population. We for 7 years, we participated in a study where we were actually banding them. And the scientists that came and did that every year found that we had a population of about 200 to 250 a day in the months of July, August, and the beginning of September. And this was mainly because not only is our backyard of the Nature Station kind of conducive to hummingbirds, it has a lot of native plants, you know, hummingbirds are pollinators. It's an edge habitat, which is what the type of habitat between an open area and a forest that hummingbirds like. And we're kind of in the middle of their migration route. So we get a lot of hummingbirds that are coming from northern areas and migrating south to Central America. And that makes us a nice little stop. I always kind of say that we're the McDonald's on the interstate for all the hummingbirds that we have. And it makes it a unique spectacle. I mean, the backyard gardens is maybe an acre, acre and a half, and you have 200 hummingbirds crammed into that little area. So it's quite a spectacle.
What's your favorite piece or a couple of pieces of hummingbird trivia?
So the thing about hummingbirds that is there's just so much in it, and it really comes down to all the neat numbers that you have. So for instance, one of my favorite trivia facts is a male hummingbird, male and female hummingbirds will flap their wings 60 to 80 times per second. Now think of anything that you can do, in a second, flapping your arms. You can't even get one in before the second's over. They're doing 60 to 80 times. And a male, to impress a female, will do 200 times per second. And often you see this display, people who have hummingbird feeders at their house will see this display where a male hummingbird will fly in a U shape across the yard. And he's flapping his wings 200 times per second. The other bit of fact that I kind of like to always point out to people is that we're so associated with hummingbirds being a pollinator. And that's true. They do drink a lot of nectar. 75% of their diet can be nectar, especially during this time period. And they also eat a lot of insects. So a lot of the insects that we don't like in our yard, gnats, little tiny spiders, mosquitoes, no-see-ums, midges, these type of things are the way that hummingbirds build up the proteins in their body as well as for their young. It's particularly important for the development of their young. It's kind of like a human. You can't grow a kid on Coca-Cola. They can move around and flap their wings quite fast, but you need to give them something of substance, your veggies, your meats and cheeses, your breads and stuff like that, for them to be able to build up their bodies. And that's the same with hummingbirds. And I'm going to give you one more trivia thing that I think is pretty impressive, and that's their migration. From land between lakes to where they stop in Costa Rica, it's 1,082 miles. And once they hit the Texas coast, they fly straight across there in a nonstop flight that takes about 18 hours. So they're flapping their wings at 50 miles per hour across the Gulf of Mexico. And they're not stopping for food or anything. So that's a pretty impressive migration for this tiny little bird.
That's incredibly impressive. Many people will purchase hummingbird feeders or make their own to attract them into their yards. Is there any downside at all to having a bunch of hummingbirds around? And if someone's listening and they want to try to fashion a hummingbird feeder, do you have any advice for them?
Yeah, there are some downsides to having a hummingbird feeder out. Maybe the hummingbirds might depend upon it too much and not rely on some natural sources. And when that happens, sometimes if people are not taking good care of their hummingbird feeder, that can detrimentally hurt a hummingbird. For instance, they let their sugar water go a little too long in the heat. It molds. It might even ferment a little bit. That can definitely hurt a hummingbird, especially on migration. We definitely do not encourage anybody to use red nectar in their hummingbird feeder or red food coloring if they're going to make their own. Just use plain old sugar water, a 4-to-1 ratio, one cup to every four cups of water, because the red food coloring does not digest well in their metabolism. It has been shown to rot their feathers, so that makes them and makes it sticky, so they're not very good at flying. There's some other potential hazards. So we encourage people not to use anything that has red food coloring. The red on the feeder itself will attract them. You don't need it in the sugar water itself. And if you need proof of that, come to the nature station and see, you know, the 200 to 250 hummingbirds and the homemade nectar that we make for them.
Do you have a way of measuring how many visitors you get primarily or wholly because of the hummingbirds?
Yeah, so during the month of August, because that is the prime time of the migration, we get a number of people that travel quite a bit of distance. We usually have a festival at the beginning of each August to kind of celebrate the hummingbirds migrating through, and we have a scientist that comes in and bands hummingbirds, and people can see them up close and meet other people that are interested in hummingbirds. Of course, because of COVID restrictions and safety, we're not having some of those things this year. But nobody told the hummingbirds that. So we still have all the hummingbirds that people can kind of come in and enjoy. And so we're still offering some socially distanced programs in the backyard during the weekdays. We offer an early access, so if you don't want to be around crowds of people, you can sign up for exclusive, just to sit back and watch the hummingbirds or do photography of them on Saturday mornings. We have a program called The Science of Hummingbirds that kind of explains some of those numbers that we have. That's usually a pretty good one, particularly for kids to be able to grasp some of these concepts. And, you know, we just encourage people to come and sit back and enjoy and this unique spectacle of nature.
What kind of colors do they display?
Well, this is really kind of an interesting science question in itself, in that hummingbirds, unlike some other birds, like cardinals, for instance, have a different type of feather. They have iridescent feathers, which gives them a wide range of colors, all the colors of the prism. When you look at a prism, when you did that in science, in grade school, you would see all the rainbows. It would break up the colors. And so a hummingbird can actually display lots of different colors because on each little individual feather, each part of that feather is a bubble that acts like a prism. And so in different lighting, a hummingbird will be a different color. So we often get a lot of calls and say, I have a strange hummingbird. I don't know what it is. And it is possible we do from time to time get a hummingbird called a rufous hummingbird from Alaska, or a black chin hummingbird from Colorado. But for the most part, it's the ruby-throated hummingbird, the only hummingbird that nests in the eastern United States. And they just may be in different lighting. But for the most part, they have a white belly. Males have a red throat patch. And they got kind of a greenish, shiny back and head.